Today's daf is Zvachim daf Kuftes Zayin. I think this is our last daf of Agadata, of the very few dafim of Agadata that we've had in this parak. We left off at daf Kuftes Vavim Beis, three lines from the bottom, Amar Mar. So what we're going to be discussing for a good portion of the daf is the brisa that we mentioned, that we quoted four lines before the lines got wide on Kuftes Vavim Beis, which was the brisa that said that Ad Shlo Hukam HaMishkan, before the Mishkan was erected, Habamos Mutaros, the Bamos were mutter, and avoda bebechoros, the bechoros were the ones that did the avoda, va'kol k'sherin lahakriv, and you were able to bring any kind of animal on a bama, behema, chaya, va'of, zacharim, nekevos, tmimin, balimumin. We said you're allowed to bring all different kinds of animals, behema, chaya, and of, male, female, whether it had a mum, didn't have a mum, tahorin avalotmein. The only limitation was it had to be kosher animals. It couldn't be not kosher animals. And we said va'kol karvu olos, everything was brought as a carbon ola, and then we discussed the Hefshet V'Nituach issue. That was the brisa that we're going to be analyzing now. So says the Gemara, Amar Mar, HaKol Kshir in the Hakrav, we said that you're allowed to bring all different kinds of animals, Minani Mili. So how do I know that this is true? Amar Avuna Damar Kra, Vayive Noach Mizbech Lashem, Vayikach Mikol HaBehema HaTahora, UMikol HaOf HaTahor. Pasuk says, Behema and Of they brought, that Noach was able to bring. And if you note the Girsa on the side, Behema V'Of Kimashma'o. So you see that they were able to bring Behema V'Of because the pasuk mentions both Behema and Of, so that's easy. And Chaya B'Chal Behema. How do I know that they were able to bring Chaya as well? Because sometimes the word Behema is used as a more generic term of animals. Sometimes it means Behema as opposed to Chaya, that a domesticated animal versus an undomesticated animal versus a wild beast. Over here, we're suggesting that over here, that the word Behema is in the more general term. Behema means everything. It means a Behema, a Chaya, all kinds of animals. So from that pasuk, you see a behema, which includes both behema and chaya, plus the pasuk says of. So you see, they were able to bring all different kinds of animals: behema, chaya, and of. Zecharim unukevos tmimin ubalimumin. Then the brisa went on to say that they were able to bring male animals, female animals, whether they did or did not have a mum. So la'afuke, we skipped the parentheses, la'afuke mechusarever delo. One thing they were not allowed to bring is an animal that was a mechusarever. If the animal was missing a limb, so that was an invalid korban. Amar Ablazer minayin mechusarever shenesel b'nei Noach. How do I know a ben Noach is not allowed to bring a mechusarever, an animal that's missing a limb? Tamalomar mikolachai mikol basar. Pasuk says mikolachai mikol basar. We darshin Amra Torah havei behema shechayin rashei evarin shela. That the Torah is saying, bring an animal that the rashei evarin shela are alive, meaning that it has tips of its limbs, that it's not missing any limbs. So we darshan from that pasuk that the only animal that's roif to bring for a korban, that Noach had to bring into the teva, and later to be brought as a korban, are animals achai rashei evarin shela that weren't missing any limbs. So frak the Gemara, how do you know that's coming to exclude animals that were missing limbs? Maybe v'dilma l'mutei treifa. Maybe it's coming to tell me that Noach couldn't bring a treifa. How do you know that it's about mechusar evarin? Maybe a treifa wasn't even allowed, and that's what it's telling me not to bring. That's what it's telling Noach not to bring. So says Gemara, you're right, they're not allowed to bring, that Noach was not allowed to bring a treifa, but that was not from the pasuk of mikol achai mikol basar. The fact that he wasn't allowed to bring a treifa was from the fact that it says lichio zera, that the point was in bringing these animals was to continue the species, which is only going to happen if the animal is capable of having children, of having offspring. The animal can't have offspring if it's a treifa. So we know that a treifa was disqualified from lichio zera. And therefore, Mikol Achai Mikol Basar is free to teach us that an animal that's Mechusar Eiver is Pasal. So says the Gemara, that's a great drasha if you in fact hold that an animal that's a treifa is unable to have offspring. That's great if you hold a treifa cannot be molded. But if you hold a treifa can be molded, that a treifa is able to have offspring, so then what are you going to say? Then how are you going to explain why we don't use mikol achai mikol basar to be bima'it treifa, because lichyo zera can no longer be bima'it treifa? So says Gemara, ha'amar kra itcha bidomen lach. You're right. We have another pasuk that tells me that you can't bring a treifa, and that is in the pasuk the word itcha, that Noach was told bring these animals onto the teva with you, and we darshan with you doesn't just mean together with you, but it means bring animals that are similar to you. In what way are they similar? Just like Noach wasn't a treifa, he had to dafka bring animals that were not a treifa. So at this point, what we're saying is, if you hold that a treifa is yoledes, that a treifa is able to have offspring, so from the pasuk mikol chay mikol basar, we learn an animal that's mechusar rashei evarim is possible for a carbon for a ben noach. From the pasuk of itcha, we learn that a treifa is also possible. So frek the gemara, but how do you know bedoman lach means that it can't be a treifa? Vedoman noach gufei treifa hava. How do you know Noach himself wasn't a treifa? Maybe Noach himself was a treifa. So maybe itcha means that he should bring a treifa. So it says gemara, no, tamim ksiv beid. It says tamim, so we know that Noach was not a treifa, because Noach is tzadik tamim haya b'dor osav. He was a tamim. That means he wasn't a treifa. It means he didn't have any major blemishes. So frankly, gemara, no, tamim isn't about his physical well-being. Tamim is about his spiritual, moral well-being. V'tilma tamim b'durachav. Maybe tamim means in the way that he acted, he was a tamim, but not that he was physically perfect. Gemara says, no, if you want to know how he morally was, tzadik sivbei. It says tzadik. So tamim must mean how he was physically. Tamim must mean that he was physically complete. Frak the Gemara, no, there are two elements of the spiritual, moral well-being of a person. Vidilma tamim bidrachav, tzadik bimasav. Maybe he was tamim in his midos, and he was tzadik in his actions. So those are two very different elements of a person. What a person does and who a person is are different things. So he was tamim in who he is, in personality traits, in midos, and he was a tzadik in the way he acted. He always did the right thing. Maybe that's what it means, and it's got nothing to do with his physical well-being, and therefore, for all we know, Noach was a treifa. So how can you go and darshan that itcha means bedomen lach, that just like you're not a treifa, so too the animals cannot be a treifa? Who says he wasn't a treifa? So says Gemara, no, it can't be that he was a treifa. Isal kadaitach de Noach gufei treifava. If you hold that Noach himself was a treifa, mika amrle le Noach de kaveseich ayil shlemim lo ta'ayil. Does that make any sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell him, dafka bring animals that are like you, bring animals that are treifa animals, and don't bring animals that aren't treifa animals? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have such a hakpada that he'd have to bring treifa animals? That doesn't make any sense. So it's got to be that Noach was not a treifa, and he was told to bring animals that were like him in the sense that they too were not treifos. Okay, now when all the dust settles, we're learning from Mikol Chai Mikol Basar that Mechusar Rashei Evarim is no good. We learn from Itcha that Treifa is no good. So what do I use the pasuk of Lechiozera to teach me? Because now that pasuk is free. Again, if you assume that a treifa is yoledes, so Lechiozera is extra now. So says Gemara, Ma'u detema itcha l'tzav sabialma. I might have thought that the idea of bringing in an animal itcha with you meant only not for so that the animals can have children, can have offspring, but rather just so that Noach could have company on the teva, that dog is a man's best friend or whatever, that he wants to have pets on the teva so that he shouldn't go out of his mind, that he should have some sort of company, afilu zakin, afilu sris, and therefore the animal could even be an animal that's beyond the age of having offspring, or the animal could be simply physically incapable of having offspring. So kamash mula, and therefore comes to tell me no, that the animal not only can't be a treifa, but it has to be an animal that's able to have offspring. Itcha does not just mean litzav sabi alma, does not just mean that he was there for the good company. A couple of ha'aros that Tosus has. Number one, Tosus on the top says, Tema, the perek shiluach, on the idea that maybe it's coming to exclude a treifa. So we wanted to say that, how do you know that mechusar evarim is what's being excluded? Maybe only a treifa is being excluded from a karban ben noach. So Tosus asks, in Meseches Chulin, gabe shtei tzipar that we darshan that both are true, that when we say that tziparim chayos, the Gemara darshans that it means two things. It means that chayos means that both it's going to live, it's not a treifa, and that chaye rashe evarim shala, that its limbs are intact. So why in our Gemara do we assume it's got to be one or the other? It's either mechusar rashe evarim shala or it's a treifa. Over there we were perfectly happy saying both. The both are equal drushas. There's no reason to say one is more likely to be excluded than the other. So it tells us Yeshlomer the shiny tzipari mitzara shuken karban ushnei and shavin le'inyan psul. When you're dealing with a karban, so the psul of a treifa and the psul of mechusar eiver are equal. So there's no reason to hold one over the other. Aval gabei Noach the sharmum nekshirin havali lukmi lemutei treifa dafka. But by Noach we know that a balmum was kosher. He was allowed to bring an animal that was a balmum. So we're not dealing with the normal rules of karbanos. So that which is most so it's most likely that a mechusar eiver, which is most similar to a mum, should be included in a treifa, which is worse than a mum. It's that the animal is dying. Maybe it would be excluded. then they're not on the same playing field anymore. When you're not dealing with the typical carbon, you're dealing with a situation where balei mum are acceptable. The other interesting point Tosfos has on in the last Tosfos on the page, Dilma Noach gufei treifa hava. The Gemara suggests maybe Noach was a treifa. So what is the definition of a treifa? So we normally assume treifa means an animal that is not going to survive the year. It has such an illness that it's not going to be able to make it through a full year of life. So the Gemara, so Frek tells us a very fundamental question. What is the hava amina that Noach was a treifa when he went into the teva? He lived well more than a year after the Mabul. So how can you say that he was a treifa? In fact, he lived 300 years after the Mabul. So how's it shayich that he was a treifa at the time of the Mabul? So it says, tells me, maybe we're assuming like the shita that holds that a treifa can live, it's just that its quality of life is not the same. It doesn't live at a very high level, and maybe Noach was a feeble, weak old man, and he was suffering from various ailments, but he lived. He just didn't live life to the fullest after the Mabul. Maybe that's what that's what it means. That's what the Gemara is assuming. But Tosfos points out that Rabbeinu Tam had a different take. For Rabbeinu Tam, very fascinating. He says that although physically the treifus of an Adam and treifus of a behema may be similar to each other, maybe this is the same thing, a treifa of a behema is never going to live the year. Treifa of Adam might live more than a year, or even way more than a year, even 300 years, because Adam has mazel also. And since Adam has mazel, which the assumption is a behema does not have mazel, that allows a human being to overcome his physical ailments and be able to survive in the face of physical ailments. The kasha de bereisha el treifus ma'isi raya me'iov a treifus to behema. Problem is, in el treifus it seems to associate the two. It seems to associate a raya from Iov, who is a human being, obviously, to the halachos of treifa of a behema. Now, in terms of the nature of the problem of a treifa, the Rambam writes a chiluk between different halachos of treifa. The Rambam has different dinim, different qualifications of what makes a treifa regarding different halachos. For instance, we know one halacha of a treifa is that if an animal is a treifa, it's not kosher. You're not allowed to eat the animal. We know there's another halacha of a treifa that if a person kills, Reuven kills Shimon, and it turns out Shimon was a treifa, Reuven is not chayiv misa for killing Shimon. So the gedarim of those two definitions of those two halachos of treifa are different in the Rambam's view. The Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach, Perek Beis Halacha Ches, writes that whether Shimon is called a treifa or not, legabe killing Reuven, is up to the doctors. If a doctor says that this guy had an illness that he was going to die from, and Reuven kills him, so Reuven is not going to be chayv misa. But it's all tali in the doctors. There's no set of criteria that Chazal gave us to determine what makes Shimon a treifa, what does not make Shimon a treifa. However, the Rambam in Hushkita, Perek Yod, Alach Yud Gimel, when it comes to the isra of eating a behema that's a treifa, writes that all of the different treifos that the Chachamim enumerated and said that they are a treifa, even though medically we might say that many of these animals might survive, they're not going to die, it's possible to live, still we can only follow what the Chachamim gave us, we can only follow the various definitions of trefos, Shemanu Chacham, that the Chacham enumerated, and the Pasuk says, Al Pi HaTorah Sher Yerucha, we have to determine the halachos of the Torah based on what Chazal say, not based on what medical science tells us. So fascinating, when it comes to Reuven killing Shimon, so the Rambam says, whatever the doctor says, how do I know what a trefos is? But when it comes to an animal, so the Rambam says, well, then we learn Maseches Chulin very carefully, and we determine what's a treifa, what's not, and it makes no difference about medical science. Briska Rav has a chakira, whether the psul treifa legabe a karban, where does that fit? Is the psul treifa legabe a karban tully in the 18 treifos that were halachal Moshe Misinai, like the Isra of Achilas treifa, or is the psul treifa of a karban like the din of Ritzicha, where it's completely tully on the opinion of the doctors and what the doctors said? So Briskrov said, meaning basically what he's pointing out is the Rambam is very clear about these two halachos of treifa, but there's a third halach of treifa, and that is that a carbon that's a treifa is a pasul of carbon. Which category does that fit into? So that's the chakira that's raised by the Briskrov. He brings a raya from a Gemara Menachos Davav, where the Gemara asks a question, Trefa mehacha nafka mehaso nafka mashka Yisrael min amutuli Yisrael, where the Gemara tries to associate the psul trefa of a korban with that which is permissible to eat. So he says, you see that the definition of trefa would seem to go basar, the din of what you're allowed to eat, and not follow the din of Reuven killing Shimon and Shimon being a trefa. So it would not go based on what the doctors say. It would go based on what we know is a trefa. Okay, the Gemara had said that lichya zera at the end is needed because I might have thought that Noach was only supposed to bring animals for the sake of having company. So this is somewhat difficult because if he was able to bring a sris or a zakin that are not able to be mekayim the olam, not able to regenerate and produce offspring, so why couldn't he bring a trefa then? Meaning, why would we say that he's not allowed to bring a trefa, but he's allowed to bring, meaning, what we suggested is, idcha b'domenach means, don't bring a trefa. What do I need lichya zera? Because had I just had idcha b'domenach, don't bring a trefa, I would have thought, yeah, don't bring a trefa, but a zakin or a sris is fine. Well, the zakin or a sris is fine because all we want out of the animal is not to bring us a karba, nor to have children. All we want out of the animal is to keep Noach company. Then shouldn't the trefa have been fine also? So what's the have mean to exclude the trefa and include a zakin or a sris? Now, from Rashi over here, Dibur Maskel Mal Detema, I think there's a Rashi, where did I see before? Yeah, Mal Detema sounds like he's saying that within this have mean, we're assuming a trefa would be no good also. But Rashi, Mesech Sevel Dezara, says explicitly in Davav Mesech Sevel Dezara, Rashi says, no, the Havamina is, let him bring an animal that's old, that's a zakin or a sris, but not a trefa, because the trefa could die at any time, and then he's no good company. If Noach is bringing the animal for company, you don't want to bring a sickly animal that might die at any moment. A zakin or a sris is not a threat to die imminently, but a trefa is more of a threat to die imminently. That's the Havamina, according to Rashi. Okay. Says the Gemara Viter. Two dots. Tahara Navalotmein. So we said kosher animals, not non-kosher animals. That even Ad Shalah Hukam HaMishkan, when you were allowed to bring all sorts of different animals, still that had to be kosher animals. Couldn't be non-kosher animals, right? The words Torah and Tmein, when it's used in the Torah describing animals, does not refer to ritual impurity. Animals that are alive can never become ritually impure. There's no such thing as Tuma on live animals. It's always referring to kosher versus not kosher. So, frankly, Gemara, miyavu tmein utarun bahi shaita. Was there actually such a thing as kosher and not kosher at that point in history? As Rashi points out, harei lo nin a Torah. Torah wasn't given yet. So, what's it talking about? They were only allowed to bring kosher, but not kosher animals as karbanos. So, Amar Shobar Nachmeni, Amar Yonasan, me'osan shlo nevda ben aveira. Kosher means an animal that hadn't been involved in the violation of an aveira, meaning wasn't used for bestiality or for avod zara. Anything like that. So says Gemara, Minavi Yadi. How would you know? How you interview the animal? How do you know what the animal did and what the animal didn't do? What it was involved and what it wasn't? So Rav Chista, Dam Rav Chista, the Gemara is going to give two answers. How they knew what was what. So Dam Rav Chista, Virun Lefnei Teva. Number one, Rav Chista says they passed the animal in front of the Teva, Kol Sha Teva Kolatatan, Biyadurashu Tahar. Whatever the Teva was able to take in, whatever the Teva did not spit right back out, you knew that that was a kosher animal. Ein Teva Kolatatan, Biyadurashu Tamein. Whatever the Teva spat back out, that was a non-kosher animal. Rabbi Avo Amar Kra Va'abayim Zachar in a Keva. Habayim Melein. No, the pasuk says that the animals came, which means they came on their own. So those animals that came on their own, Rashi points out, depending how many of them came, so Noach was able to tell what was kosher and what was not. The animals that came seven pairs, he knew that they were tahar. The animals that came two pairs, he knew that those were the non-kosher animals. So it was very pasha, just based on which animals walked into the teva, on how many of which animals walked into the teva. What's interesting is that Rashi on Chumash has a different explanation that's not quoted over here. Rashi on the pasuk Mikol Beimah Torah Tikach Lecha Shiva Shiva Ish VeIshto Min Beimah Asher Lo Torah Hu Shnayim Ish VeIshto. Rashi writes HaTahora means HaAsida Lios Torah Lisrael, that which will one day be determined as kosher for the Jewish people. Lomanu Shalom Noach Torah. So Rashi and Chumash says, you see from here that Noach learned Torah. Now, Rashi could have just quoted our Gemara instead of quoting this new drasha that Shalom Noach Torah. No, not that Noach learned Torah and therefore was able to determine what was kosher, what was not. Maybe the Teva spat out the ones that weren't kosher. Maybe it's Habo Me'aleim. You have these two alternate possibilities other than Noach learning Torah. What's the hechrich for Rashi to say that Noach learned Torah? So the Marsha writes that which Rashi says Melamed Shenoach Shalom Noach Torah. It's not because had Noach not learned Torah, how would he have known what was kosher, what was not kosher? Because for that, you're right. These answers would have sufficed. Rashi only mentions that Noach learned Torah because when it came to Noach, it wasn't shayich to Torah and Tameah for Noach himself. Torah and Tameah is only shayich la'asalava for Klal Yisrael. So if Noach didn't learn Torah, granted the Teva would have taken in certain animals, not others, or certain animals came, others didn't. Noach wouldn't have even known what it meant. Why? Why are there seven of this kind and two of the other kind? Granted, they came on their own, but he wouldn't have even understood what was going on. So Melamed Shalom Noach Torah is that he chapped, he understood what was happening. Ah, that's a kosher animal, that's a not kosher animal. I see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got going on over here, that the kosher animals are the ones that are coming in. So that through that, Noach was able to learn Torah. That was the limud of that Rashi was quoting. Not against our Gemara, it fits beautifully with how our Gemara is learning. Okay, says the Gemara, Amar Mar, Va'kol karvu olos. The Brisa went on to say that every animal that they brought ad shalahukam mishkan was a karban ola. So olos in shlamim lo, they were only able to bring an ola, not a shlamim. Va'ksiv ve'izbuchu zvachim shlamim la'ashem parim. But the pasuk says that they brought shlamim. So how can you say that it was only olos before the mishkan was erected? Ela ema. Rather, what you have to say is, and the shita changes the gears a little bit, la'kol karvu olos. Ulbnei Noach olos in shlamim lo, that everyone was allowed to bring a karban ola. Klal Yisrael was allowed to bring a shlamim also, but Bnei Noach were only allowed to bring an ola, not a shlamim. Kaman diyamar lo karvu shlamim Bnei Noach. That teaches us that Bnei Noach did not bring a karban shlamim. That only Klal Yisrael was able to bring karban shlamim at shalahu kama mishkan. But Bnei Noach were allowed to bring only karban ola, not karban shlamim. De itmar. Rabbi Lazar Yosef bar Chanina chadam or karvu shlamim Bnei Noach chadam or lo karvu. That's a machlokas whether the Bnei Noach were able to bring carbon shlamim or not able to bring carbon shlamim. There is a discussion in the Achronim, the Briskarav and the Chazanish, that at what point was Klal Yisrael given more expansive rights than Bnei Noach? Was it at Matan Torah? Was it at Hukam HaMishkan? What exactly was the time where Klal Yisrael was able to bring a Karban Shlamim? Meaning, not just when they were allowed to bring Karban Shlamim, the Gemara seems like they were allowed to bring Karban Shlamim even before Hukam HaMishkan, but did those Karbanos have a din of a Karban Ben Noach, or did they have a din of a Karban Yisrael? Did they only take on the din of Karban Yisrael at Matan Torah? What was was it at Matan Torah? Was it at Hukam HaMishkan? At what stage in history? So that's a discussion the Achronim have over here. Okay, but anyway, my time at the Mandiyam or Karban Shlam Bnei Noach, what's the reason for the Shita that holds that Bnei Noach were allowed to bring Karban Shlamim? Dechsiv, Hevel Hevi Gam Hu Mibcharos Sono Hu Michal Vehen. That Hevel also brought Mibcharos Sono Hu Michal Vehen. Ezu Dover Shechel V'Karv L'Gabi Mizbech Vein Kulo Karv L'Gabi Mizbech. What kind of animal is the Chelev the animal burnt on the Mizbech, but not the entire animal. An Ola, the entire animal is burnt on the Mizbech. So why does the Torah highlight that Hevel's animal, only the Chelev? Saviyomer, Zeh Shlamim, must have been Karban Shlamim. Okay, my time and demand Yom Lo Karv. Then what's the reason for the opinion that says that they did not bring Shlamim? Dechsiv, Uri Tzafon Ubo Teman. And we darshan, that means, Tisnar Uma, Shemaseh B'Tzafon. Wake up the nations of the world whose actions regarding their Karbanos are all in the north. Because an Ola is all done in the Avodasa B'Tzafon. But v'tava uma shemaseh b'tzafon uvedarom. But the uma relates to Klal Yisrael, where the karbanos that we bring are both north and south karbanos, because we could bring a shlamim also. So that's the reason. That's the pasuk that we use as the source. Tell me that the umos halom are not allowed to bring a shlamim. Umar nami yaksivu michal behen. Aye, but what are you going to do with the pasuk that says that hevel brought from the chaylev, which implies that it was a karban shlamim? So mishmanein didhu. No, it just means from the fattest and choicest of the animals. It doesn't mean that he brought from the chaylev of a given animal. It's just described describing which kind of animal he brought, and therefore it's not a raya that Bnei Noach were allowed to bring carbon shlamim. Umar nami yoksiv uri tzafon. What's the opinion that holds that Bnei Noach are allowed to bring shlamim? Going to do with the pasuk that says that wake up the nations of the world that only bring in the north. So who be kibbutz galios seduch? So that pasuk is not about carbonos at all. It's just about kibbutz galios, that we all come from all different sides of the earth. Vaksiv vayomer Moshe gamata titen biyadem uzvachim v'olos vasimul Hashem elkeinu. But didn't Moshe Rabbeinu, when he requested from Paro, he said, give in our hands zvachim and olos. So olos we know is an ola. What's zvachim? Isn't that a carbon shlamim? So you see that even though we were Bnei Noach at that time, we were able to bring a carbon shlamim. Says Gemara, no. Zvachim lachila va'olos la'krava. Zvachim means basar taiva. We wanted animals stam to eat. And olos is for the hakrava of a carbon ola. Vaksiv, what about the pasuk v'yikach Yisro chosein Moshe ola uzvachim? That it says Yisro took ola uzvachim. That was after Matan Torah, and that's why that Zvachim is a reference to Karban Shlamim, but that's after Matan Torah. We were already Jews. We weren't Bnei Noach anymore. So, that's great if you work out the chronology of the Torah that Yisro came after Matan Torah. But if Yisro was before Matan Torah, so how can you say that we were already Jews at that time? So, so you have to line up the shittos, and you have to say that if you hold Yisro is before Matan Torah, then you must also be of the opinion that Bnei Noach are allowed to bring shlamim. We had a machlokas about that too, whether Bnei Noach are allowed to bring shlamim or not. So the shittos line up. If you hold Yisro was before Matan Torah, you can't hold that Bnei Noach were not allowed to bring shlamim, because it says by Yisro that they brought shlamim, so it must be that the shittos line up with each other. Kitanoi, and this is in fact Machlokas Tanoim, when Yisro was, Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midyan, Yisro heard, and that's what caused him to come, Mashmua Shamu above in Iskayer, what did Yisro hear that caused him to join Klal Yisrael? Actually, before we do that, let's just, before we leave the sugya of Goyim bringing Karbanos, just mention that the Achronim raised two major questions about why or how the mechanics work out that Goyim are allowed to bring Karbanos. The halacha is that who would be eligible to shecht the carbon brought by an Ovid Kochavim? The Gemara is clear in several places that either the Bailim or the Shliach of the Bailim is supposed to be the one that shechts a person's carbon. Now, an Ovid Kochavim is certainly not allowed to shecht his own carbon because he's pasul shchita. Shchita is ksher bizar, but it's not ksher ba'akum. You have to at least be a Jew to do shchita. We also have a concept that Chazal tells us that ein shlichus lovid kochavim. He can't appoint a shliach. Kayim are not b'torah shlichus. So if he's not b'torah shlichus and he can't bring his own carbon, who's the guy that's shechting the Ovid Kochavim's carbon? And not only that, they point out that even if there was shlichus of the Kochavim, there's another klal in shlichus, that anything that a person, anything a person is unable to do on his own, he doesn't have the power to appoint a shliach to do on his behalf. So if a guy is not able to shecht the carbon himself, even if he was b'toras shlichus in general, he wouldn't be b'toras shlichus for bringing a carbon, because he himself is not allowed to do it. That's one point that the Achronim raised. The other point the Achronim raised is that the Gemara has a suffix. The Gemara has a suffix whether in Kiddushin Daf Chav Gimel and Darm Daf Lamed Hey, whether Kohanim, when they do the Avoda, are Shluchim of the Bala Karban or Shluchim of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shluchim Didan or Shluchim Drachmana. Whose Shluchim are they? Now, shouldn't we be poshet the suffix very poshet from the fact that the Kohanim are going to be able to bring the Karban of a Ben Noach? Doesn't that tell you they're obviously Shluchim Drachmana? Because the Ben Noach doesn't have Shlichus? So isn't that obvious that therefore Kohanim are by definition Shluchim? So this is the major discussion that the Achronim have in regards to Karbanos of a Ben Noach. So some of the Achronim write that this halacha, that Shchitas a Karban needs to be done by either the Karban or by his Shliach, is only said by a Karban Yisrael, because the Yisrael is considered the Baal HaKarban. Why is he considered the Baal HaKarban? If it's an Olo or a Chatos, because it's Mechaper for him on what he on an Asay or a Los Asay, Olo on an Asay, Chatos on a Los Asay, and if it's a Shlamim, he has his Chus Ba'achilas HaBasar, he's able to eat the meat, and therefore he's considered the Bala Karban. So the Torah says, since you're the Bailam on the Karban, you have to do the Shechita, or your Shliach has to do the Shechita. As opposed to Novik Chavim, once he's Maktish the Karban, he has no Shaychus to it anymore. He gets nothing from it. He's not allowed to eat the meat of the Karban. It's not Mechaper for anything, so it doesn't serve as a Kapara, and he has no Zuchus Achila, so therefore there's no requirement that he be the one to Shech the Karban. The din of the Bailam Shechting the Karban is in being a Bala Karban. A Ben Noach never takes based on that status of a Bala Karban. So a whole host of Achronim suggest like that, that that's the fundamental difference. The Pnei Yeshua writes that it's only by Karbanos Yisrael, where it says Vishachat, that the Torah requires that the Shechita be done by the Bailim or by his Shliach. But by Karbanos Ovid Chavim, the Torah never used the word Vishachat, and therefore there's simply no Pasuk to demand that they themselves do the Shechita. So that's how the Achronim deal with it. Just one more point the Achronim point out is that Tosfos writes in Maseches Kiddushin and Daf Chav Gimel that which the Gemara has a suffix, whether it's Shluchei D'Rachmana or Shluchei D'Dan, there's no question that Kohanim are Shluchei D'Rachmana. The Shaila of the Gemara is, are they also Shluchei D'Dan? Pashat or Shluchei D'Rachmana. Questions are they also Shluchei D'Dan? So that would answer the second question. It could be by a Karban of Ben Noach, they're only Shluchei D'Rachmana. By our Karbanos, they're both Shluchei D'Rachmana and Shluchei D'Dan. Okay, but anyway, says the Gemara Vayter. So what did Yisro hear that made him want to come and be Megayer? Gemara's going to have three possibilities. Rashi and Chumash only quotes two of them. Rabbi Shua Omer, Melchamas Amalek Shama. He heard about Melchamas Amalek. Shari Ksiv B'tzido, Ve'echlash Yoshua Samalek, Ve'samol Lufi Charev. Rabbi Lazar Madai Omer, Matan Torah Shamulva, that he heard about Matan Torah. Shekshenit Natorah LiYisrael, Hayakala Holich Misafol Matzafu, because when the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, word spread about it from one end of the world to the other. V'kol Malchei Ovdei Chav, that's an expression, obviously there are no ends of the world. V'kol Malchei Ovdei Chav, Machzasan Ra'ada Behechalehen, V'amru Shiren, all the Malchei Ovdei Chavim were seized with a little bit of trembling, and they sang Shira, Shenemor Behechalo Kulo Amar Kavod, Neskabtu Kulo Meitzel Bilo Marasha. So all the Malchei Ovdei Chavim, they came to Bilam Arasha. What's going on? Is there another Mabel happening? So Hashem, because Shemar Hashem Lamabel Yashav, because after all, Pasuk says Hashem Lamabel Yashav, meaning that's what they were suggesting. No, God already promised there aren't going to be any more Mabels. So Amar Lo Mabel Shal Mayim in a Mevi, Mabel Shal Eish Mevi, Shemar Name Eish Hashem Nishbat. Yeah, Hakadosh Baruch Hu said he's not going to bring another Mabel of water, but a Mabel of fire that he might actually bring. Amalim Kvar Nishba Sheinu Mashkus Kalbasa. No, Hakadosh Baruch Hu said he's not going to destroy mankind anymore. So they said, okay, great. So Makol Amonas Hashemanu. What is this that we're hearing then? We're hearing this tremendous tumult. So Amalim Chem De Tov Yeshlo Beis Knozav Sheis Knuza. So Tav Kuf Ayin Dal Lidoros Kodem Shnivra Olam. Hakadosh Baruch Hu has this tremendously beautiful treasure that he's been hanging on to for 974 generations before the world was created. Ubikish litna levanav, and he wanted to give it to his children now. Shem Hashem owes the Amo Yitain. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving. He's giving to his nation the owes, this phenomenal treasure. Miyad paskul kulam v'amru Hashem yivarech samo ba'shalom. And therefore they all responded that Hashem yivarech samo ba'shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless Klal Yisrael with shalom. Interesting that the Kabbalah HaTorah is what required a bracha of shalom. That was the response to Kabbalah HaTorah, a blessing of shalom. So a couple of ways to understand it. One possibility is they said, oh, thank God, there's going to be shalom. It's not going to be that we're going to have a mabul. They were just rest assured, okay, it's not going to be a mabul. The other is that Tamidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. As long as there are people learning Torah, it's Mar B'Shalom, not just for Klal Yisrael, it's Mar B'Shalom Ba'olam. The world has Shalom. It brings about world peace when there are Talmidei Chachamim learning Torah properly. That's now, there is a parallel Gemara in Sota. I shouldn't say parallel, because it seems like to have a little bit of a different take on it. The Gemara over there says, Hava Nischakmelo, when Paro suggests, let's go and outwit the Bnei Yisrael, so why is it Lo and not Lahem? So Rabbi Chaim Bar Chanina says over there that it was Paro trying to outwit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, okay, what should I punish Klal Yisrael with? How should I kill them? Because I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes Mida Kenegan Mida. So Nidonim Be'esh, because should I punish them by burning them in the fire? Kinei Hashem Be'esh Yavo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish us likewise. Bacherev, I can't do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also going to punish us likewise. So Paro said, Bamayim. It must be Bamayim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu already promised he's not going to bring another Mabul Yolam. So that Gemara, the Binyan Tzion points out in the Tshuva, that Gemara assumes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never promised he's not going to bring a Mabul Shalesh. He only said he's not going to bring a Mabul Shalmayim. Our Gemara assumes no. Included in the promise is not just a Mabul Shalmayim, it's a Mabul Shalesh as well. Also, this three-pronged approach to why Yisro joined the Jewish people, once said to Drasha years ago about the possibility of why it is that it was Dafka, these three things, I suggested maybe you could say that there are three stages in terms of a person wanting to change their lives around, not just hearing something and being impressed. Stage one is you hear about an event that amazes you or impresses you or even grips you with fear, but then time passes and the impact fades from that event and you don't look for meaning in it. But then stage two is that there are some people that look for meaning and they look for what's going on over here. What's the what are the different philosophies over here? And they look for theological significance. But even after being intrigued by ideology, a sensitive person will realize that ideology will only take you so far without maisa, without some sort of framework of action that carries forward that ideology. And maybe that was the three stages of Yisro. That First, Yisro is a regular guy, was affected by hearing about Kriyas Yamsuf, this incredible event. So that caused him pause. And then he said, okay, what's the ideology? So he looked at the major ideological battle, Amalek versus Klal Yisrael, Kerry versus purpose in life, and he was intrigued by the ideology. But then he still needed to see Matan Torah. He needed to see that there was a framework in Maisa, in action, that we can carry things forward with. Maybe that's the three things that Yisro heard. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. Rabbi Elazar Amar Kriyas Yamsuf Shamil Bar. Rabbi Elazar says he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf Shemar Vayikishmo Kol Malchi Amori Va'af Rachav Azona Amar L'Shlucha Yoshua. Rachav Azona, when Yoshua sent the spies into Eretz Yisrael, Rachav Azona tells Pinchas and Kalev Ki Shamanu Es Hashar Hovish Hashem Esmei Yamsuf, that we all heard about. We all heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, and that's why everyone is afraid. She gave them the information that the 31 kings in Israel were terrified of the Jewish people because they heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. So why does it say Dafka Beish Lo Kama Odruach? So Rachav Azon was saying that a man was unable to have an aver that was kasha during that time. He was gripped with so much fear, so much psychological trauma, he was unable to perform sexually. So Mina Yada, how did Rachav Azona know that no men in the whole country were able to perform sexually? Dabarmar, Ilcha Kalsar Nagit Shalobal, Rachav Azona, because that was her profession. So there wasn't a single some things in the world don't change. There wasn't a single politician that hadn't frequented the Zona's office. So she had been with all of them. So Amru Bas Yud Shana Maisuk Shiatu Yisrael Mitzrayim. Rachav Azona was 10 years old when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. Vizinsa and she was Mizana for all 40 years that the Jewish people were in the Midbar. After 50 years, she was Megayer. That I should have a mechila in the schar of three things, of the rope, the window, and the flax, the bundles of flax that I hid the spies underneath. Because first she hid them underneath the flax, then she lowered them down out the window with a rope so that they were able to escape. So that should be my schar, and she was able to do tshuva. Now if you look at the Targum on the Navi, when it says Rachav HaZona, the Targum says Zona means that she was an innkeeper, from a lashon of Mizonos, not that she was a prostitute. There is a Maimer Chazal that Yeshua married Rachav HaZona. So perhaps it's difficult to comprehend that Yeshua would marry. Can you imagine the scandal? The Gadol HaDor decides he's going to marry a woman who has 40 years experience as a prostitute, but she did tshuva! No. Yeah, probably the Yeshiva World News is going to carry the story in a not complimentary way. I don't care how much tshuva she did. But anyway, she said that in the Zechara, those three things, she should be able to do tshuva. Rashi quotes a medrash that expands on that a little further. We don't have time for it right now. Okay, back to Masechet Zvachim. Omer Mar, Vovdi Chavim Bizman Azer Rashad We said that Ovdei Chavim nowadays, whatever we were allowed to do before Hukam HaMishkan, Ovdei Chavim are still allowed to do in terms of their Kabbalists. They don't have restrictions in terms of Bamos and things like that. So Minan Emili, how do we know that's true? The Tanur Rabbanon, Brisa says, B'nei Yisrael are commanded not to do Shchut Echutz. Ovdei Chavim have no requirement to refrain from Shchut Echutz. So every Ovdei Chavim can build his own Bama and bring whatever he wants in it. We're not allowed to help them out at the time of an Isser Bamos to help them with the Bama and do their Shlichus with the Bama, but they're allowed to do it on their own. But to teach them what they're allowed to do, that we can do. We just can't physically offer help. Just like Ifra Horm is the mother of King Shavar, she sent a carbon to Rava, and she said, here, take this carbon and do it L'Shem Shemayim. Rav Acha Bar Huna Zilu v'dibru treyu olamid gulai. So Rav Safra and Rav Acha Bar Huna told Rava, okay, go get two young non-Jewish boys, v'chazu eichad demaskei yamas yirtun, and go find a beautiful spot where the ocean hits the land. V'shaklu tzivi chadati, take brand new wood, v'afiku nura mi maru chadata, and light a fire from brand new with brand new metal. V'asku ani alei l'shem shemayim, and bring show them how to bring carbon l'shem shemayim. Amalei abayi kiman k'rab lozer ben shemua, the time of lozer ben shemua omer, mamas be'ach sholish tamish behedyot, afeitzim sholish tamish behedyot. The emphasis on using new things. You're going to bring this carbon down, everything has got to be new. Why does everything have to be new? Because we're assuming, like the sheet of Rav Lezer ben Shemua, that just like a Mizbeach has to be made out of something that was never used for mundane purposes before, so too the wood had to be something that was never used for mundane purposes before. I've a mother of Lezer ben Shemua b'bama, but isn't Rav Lezer ben Shemua in agreement that by a bama there's no such requirement? Because the Brisa says that David HaMelech gave Mishkal Shesh Meos of coins, 600 coins. Uksiv, another pasuk says, Ve'ikin David Asagarn Vesabakar Bekesav Shkalim Chamishim, that it was 50 Shkalim. Haketzad, how could it be 50 and 600 at the same time? So number one, Gov Mikal Shevet Veshevet Chamishim Shein Shesh Meos. One possibility is 50 from each Shevet, total 600. Rebbe Yom Shemabi Yossi Ben Dustai, Bakar, will leave out the word Ve'etzim to differentiate this between this answer and the next answer. Umakum Mizbeach Bin Nun, Ve'kalabayis Kula B'Shesh Meos. The Bakar and the place of the Mizbeach cost 50, the entire structure cost 600. Rav Lezer ben Shemua Omer, Bakar ve'etzim u'makom Mizbeach b'nun. The bakar, the wood, and the makom Mizbeach cost 50, v'kol ha'bayis kulo b'sheish meos, but the whole bayis cost 600. D'chsev v'yomer arvana al David, yikach v'yal adoni ha'melech hatov b'nav, ra'ei ha'boker la'ola v'hamorigim v'klei ha'bakar la'etzim. So bottom line is, you see that he was taking used utensils in order to build a bama. So you see that everyone's got to be molded that for a bama, you're allowed to use used things. You don't have to have brand new things. Rav would say, no, that was also brand new. My morigim, what are morigim? Amar Ula mita shel turval. Ula says, morigim is easy. That's a mita shel turval. Says Gemara, great. My mita shel turval. What is a mita shel turval? So Amar Abayi, iza de karkasa. It's a tool that looks like a goat. The daishan dishay that they would use for threshing. Amar Abayi, my crow. Where's the pasuk that indicates that that's true? Hine samticha lemari charutz chadash bal pipios. Mark le Rava le brave. Rami le kraya dadi. Rava was saying over psukim to his son, and he was asking this exact stirim psukim. Ksiva yitin davel arnon. On the one hand it says 600 shkalim, on the other hand it says 50 shkalim. Hakeitzad, how do you have something what did David pay for the Makom HaMikdash? Did he pay 600 or did he pay 50? So Govim Mikol Shevet Veshevet Chamishim Shein Sheish Meos. Like we answered before, he collected 50 from each Shevet for a total of 600. But that doesn't really solve the whole problem, because in one of the Pesukim it says that it was silver shkalim, in the other Pesukim it says it was gold shkalim. 50 silver shkalim from each Shevet doesn't equal 600 gold shkalim, or the other way around. 50 gold shkalim from each shevet doesn't equal 600 silver shkalim. So el hachi kamar gova kesef b'mishkal sheish meil zav. He collected kesef that weighed as much as 600 gold coins. And that's how to resolve the contradiction. Not that it was silver that turned to gold or anything like that. If you look at Tosfos, he points out, Rabbeinu Tam says that there's a medrash that nasanol chamishim shiklei zav dehainu sheish meil shiklei kesef. That was the same amount. He collected 50 shekels of zahav, which was the monetary equivalent of 600 shekels of kesef. Not that it was a din in the shvatim versus what he collected in total, but it was the same amount. 50 equals 600. He just points out that a Gemara in Baba Kama sounds like gold is worth 25 times the amount of silver, so the numbers wouldn't work out. So first of all, prices fluctuate, but Tosfos didn't say that. Tosfos assumes that there's like a set value, that gold is always 25 times the value of silver. So Rabbeinu Tam suggested that maybe over here it's not 25 times the amount, because the gold coins are much thicker than the kesef coins, and that's why the numbers work out differently. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Mitzvah, we'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow. We're done with Agadah for this Masechta.